There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
There was a winner in this week's celebrity death match between Chris Sims and I. It's the guy sitting in the chair, folks. All right? There's a reason. This is a new thing, I think, here on Peacock, the Dan Patrick Show. Celebrity death match. We pit two former players against one another. The winner hosts the Friday show.
You know, you versus Sims in an actual fight. You're not as big as you used to be. You're more wiry now. You're taller. You have more reach than Sims, I think.
Yeah, but I got prison sense.
Oh.
So that people forget that. You know, there's a respectability, if you want to call it, to me. You know, I'm a family man. I moved to Connecticut. I live in the suburbs, you know. But I'll still get down in the muck if I need to, all right?
Sims does look like a bit of a pretty boy, but what if he's got that switch?
He doesn't. I'm going on instinct here, you know. There were some things that I can't unsee. You know, it's burned into the psyche where I can take. Marvin.
Didn't Sims play like a quarter of football without a spleen though? No. You got to give him a couple points for that.
No, hey, anybody who's played the position, I'm going to give you, you know, I had a lacerated spleen as well, so I know what that feels like. Ray Lewis did it to me in Baltimore. Marvin, yes.
But Chris Sims saw Lawrence Taylor in the 80s, so he can't unsee some things either.
That's Phil Sims, isn't it?
No, he was a kid.
Yeah.
And he saw it.
You know, I think Phil kept him shielded from that type of stuff. You know, I would have if I was and I think Phil's a great father. He's raised some great kids. So I get it. I'm just saying, I think people forget, you know. You know, you got kind of, you know, some of the ESPN, you know, slappies talking some nonsense and they forget. You know, like you do remember who I am, right? I mean, it's just, you know, it's just not like this. There's no redemption tour here, you know. I'm still Ryan Leaf. All right.
If it's like a street fight and you walk in with us and Sims walks in with Lawrence Taylor, I'm running for my life.
Well, you run. We'll still win.
Okay.
All right. We'll still win. Like I said, prison rules. All right, man. You know, we'll fire up some oil in the microwave. You know, we'll get that ready to throw if we need to. There's a lot to get into. You don't want to start a segment here. The Russell headline that we talked about, guess where he's at right now? Pittsburgh, everybody. Little Birdie was right, as well as Ian Rappaport reporting that Russell Wilson was seen in the Newark airport on his way to Pittsburgh today.
Here's the actual report by Ian Rappaport, Rap Sheet. Free agent quarterback Russell Wilson, who has permission to visit teams, was spotted at Newark Airport catching a flight to Pittsburgh, said a source who took picture of him hanging out with fans before the flight. Were you surprised that he's flying commercial?
You know what? I think there's something calculated to everything Russell does. Man of the people heading to blue collar town, Blitzburg. All right. I do think there's something to be said for that, you know, and maybe he learned from, hey, I did not step appropriately off the plane in Denver like I should have here. There's a humbling that's come with this. Right?
So no private jet, Russell Wilson. This is 32C Russell Wilson.
Yes, I would suspect he's probably in 1-5C, but you know, don't forget he's not a big guy. You know, it's not like me having to have a first class seat simply because of the comfort part of it. You know, he's a smaller guy. he has got, you know, he's got some size and some girth to him. But I think this, you and I asked the same question. I think that this probably goes a long way. You walk into a place where you're gonna strap it up together. You're gonna put that helmet on, which I think is the greatest helmet in all of the NFL. One side, the circle with the three stars and the Steeler logo. This is something pretty special. Wear number 3 out there in black and yellow. Let's go. I'm all about it. We're going to get into college football. Jonathan Smith, head football coach for the Michigan State Spartans, is going to join us here in 1 second. Before I get into it with him, I want to talk about the aspect of what we heard from Nick Saban this week, right? Of course, we know Nick Saban retired, but there was a college story this week about what happened immediately after the Rose Bowl. And for a guy that's been in the business for so long as a head coach, Seton said something very, very poetic this morning. Maybe he wanted to get out and not start to hate something that he loves so much. Our next guest, incredible head football coach, Oregon State for the last few years, now the new head football coach for the Michigan State Spartans, Jonathan Smith, joins the Dan Patrick Show. Welcome to the show, Jonathan.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ryan. Good to see you, man.
It's good to see you, too. I appreciate you doing this. I'm a huge fan of yours. I've watched you from when you were a player in college at Oregon State to how you've risen through the ranks in the coaching tree, started in Idaho and Montana and then at Washington and ultimately became the head man at Oregon State. And what you were able to accomplish there over the last few years, I think, is outstanding. But I think a lot of people, with the way the realignment has come, were probably a little surprised but not too shaken when the idea of maybe moving somewhere else from your alma mater came to fruition. Talk to us about that move and what ultimately made you decide to head to East Lansing.
Right. You know, these decisions are never really easy. Understanding the kind of weight of, you know, one person's decision affects a lot of people. Thoroughly enjoyed my time at Oregon State. Got a great, deep appreciation for that place, the people, that kind of thing. But the more and more the landscape continues to change, putting some thought into, you know, the next, hopefully coaching for the next 10, 15 years, what that looks like. Got into some conversation with Michigan State, and the more and more looked into it, I felt really good about the fit, the opportunity, the resources here, the people, the leadership, and aligned with, you know, wanting to compete at the highest level. And so was like excited about, you know, taking on this challenge, opportunity. And now I've been doing it for about 3 months and really enjoyed getting around these players and this community.
It's a drastic shift in color scheme. You know, you go from orange and black to a real, you know, green and white. This was a good question. You've been a head coach. You've been coaching for a long time. But I don't know if maybe there's a better understanding than somebody's new to the NIL, the transfer portal aspect of things. For what you need to do. We're in March right now. There's no really football coaching. Where is the football coaching now on the list of things that you have to do on a day-to-day basis, whether it's meeting with NIL collectives or if it's, I mean, just kind of talk to us about what a head coach in college football has to do on a day-to-day basis right now.
Yeah, you know, it's each head coach chooses kind of how he's going to invest his time and things, because there is a lot of ways to do it. I know on my end, yeah, heavy amount on the recruiting side, call it a collective, just trying to create more and more opportunities for your players and for your program. And so I spend a lot of time doing that. We got a big staff, right? We got a bunch of, I think, really good coaches, and they're heavy on the schematic end of that. We start spring ball here in less than 2 weeks, and so we're getting ready for that. And strength staff's big time, and they've been working with the guys. And so I do spend more of my time, call it a CEO level, but some of these, you know, opportunities for the players, recruiting, and then making sure the day-to-day schedule is operating.
The recruiting process now, you know, your and I days, it was all about the high school recruits and yeah, almost like a farm system. They come in, they spend 4 years redshirt. Where is most of your resources placed in the high school aspect of things, or really with the transfer portal and looking around the country?
Yeah, we still want to be heavy in the high school side. We want to be a place of development. Recruiting high school players will still be a priority for us. It just can't be the only way you add to your roster. We know the landscape now and opportunities to add to your roster from the portal. We still are going to be in that more immediate need, more player that's in his second, third, fourth year type thing. But majority, we still want to be high school heavy, starting the inside out in the state of Michigan into Ohio and the Midwest, and build it that way.
Yeah. Speaking of that, so transplant from the West Coast. Of course, you're from Pasadena. You go to Oregon State. You hate the Ducks, as do I. When is it day one? Do you step on campus in East Lansing and all of a sudden you just you look around and you go, I hate Michigan. How is it instilled in you as a new head coach for the Spartans?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've been around rivals, right? In-state rivalries, and those things are important and meaningful. So it didn't take me long getting over here to understand that, yeah, there's another school in the state that that we don't like a ton and all of that. And that's why I go back to the fit for me coming to a place that I love that, having an in-state rival that we get to compete in, not just in football. I mean, you look at basketball going and all the other sports, it's fun to be on a college campus that way.
The Big Ten Conference expanding, you walk into a situation, ironically, where you're going to see that Oregon team once again, Washington, a place where you resided for some time. When the decision was made, and some of the answers you gave around the reasoning, I mean, the Big Ten and the SEC really feel like that is the players in college football right now. How important is it to be in a conference where you feel like you have the best type of competition, where you can go up and down the roster of teams that are in that conference, where you're going to be competitive year in, year out, and give you the best chance to be seen as a best team out there?
Yeah, I think it's been proven. Big Ten, SEC, just looking at even last year's playoff and who was in the championship game and coming from this conference, I do feel excited. It's going to be a challenge, but playing in a conference at the highest level that solidified itself in history, and now I do feel the future is really, really bright for Big Ten football.
Big conversation around the college football playoff, where that's going to look, where it's going to go. Realignment still is a big conversation. Where do you see the overall structure of college football, maybe let's say in 5 years?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I really don't know. It continues to change, those conversations. I do think more opportunity, more people, teams, universities getting into the playoff, I think is important. I will say, been busy for 3 months, dialed in on this place, excited about building this roster, spring football. I haven't put a ton of time or even in those conversations.
Yeah.
On what it's going to look like the next 5 years.
Well, it's a big part of being a head coach, right? You talk to your kids, it's something you can't control right now. You don't know. We're stalking.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way you talk to them. I mean, we don't control that aspect of it. What we do control is this, schedule we got for this fall that we're, putting a lot of work into to play.
Yeah, it's a big part of what you and I discussed when I came out to Corvallis a couple years ago. Love to get to East Lansing again now and
spend
some time with you and your staff. Before we get out of here, it's 1994. You're sitting in Ryan Leaf's living room with mom and dad. What's your Michigan State pitch to one of the top quarterbacks in the country?
Yeah, we're talking, whether we're talking offense, we want to be a place of substance. Talked about development already. I do think in this transactional environment, which is just a piece of the pie, totally a piece of the pie now, but there's still other pieces of that from academic side, getting a college degree, the day in, day out, development, treatment, relationship building, big-time campus, university, the education, world-renowned, all of that I'd be discussing with you.
Yeah, it's a sum of all its parts. And, when you guys talk to these players, it's tough to understand that, 1% of these guys are going to play in the NFL. And so there has to be all those other components that you talk about. And you've done a tremendous job with it. Before you get out of here, let's talk about your transfer. Aiden Giles, he comes from Oregon State. You really utilized him, I thought, in a unique way last year, having a set series for him to come in for DJ. And did a tremendous job. Expectations for him, and how excited are you for you to have him on campus?
Well, definitely excited, because we do feel like, really good person, player, talented, all those things. Did get him some experience last year, which was earned, getting him in the third series about every game.
Yep.
And he showed that he's more than ready to to play at a really high level. I think he's got a comfort level over here, just schematically, right? The offense ain't dramatically changing on him, and he's dove into this place. I think he's fitting in well in a locker room. He didn't come in trying to be the face of the program from day one. He's come in and went to work, and he's not alone. We've got a bunch of other guys, but we're excited about Aiden's, you know, potential and seeing him throw the ball around.
I'm excited too. I was excited to hear that you were going to come on today, and you know, I'm a big fan of yours, as you know. So continued success. Good luck in East Lansing, and you know, hopefully I'll get out there here soon.
Yeah, love to get you out here for sure. Speak to the team again. This guy's been phenomenal when he speaking to teams, so we want to get you out.
I appreciate that, Coach. Good to see you. Good luck this year, and thanks for coming on.
Okay. Thanks, Ryan.
You bet. Jonathan Smith, everybody, new head football coach for the Michigan State Spartans. All right. When we come back, we're going to hit the high school playoff controversy here in New Jersey. It's not necessarily all what you see or hear, but it's sticking around. When we come back right here on the Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. It would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Dan Patrick Show. I'm Ryan Leaf, filling in for Dan, who didn't agree with the Meat Friday menu and decided to call it a day, you know, which... If I knew if that was easy, just to order bone-in ribeyes so I could host, I would do. I would have started that, you know, years ago, people, years ago. Seton O'Connor, Todd Fritz, Paul Papps, Marvin on ones and twos. Thank you guys for making this really, really fun and enjoyable. Not so fun and enjoyable. High school football in New Jersey right now. Oh, sorry, New Jersey basketball. High school New Jersey basketball. Not so fun right now. Playoff time, huge implications for players that may never play past the high school level. This is big moments. you know, over the last 3 days, a lot going on. Paulie, you've kind of been, you know, on your P's and Q's on this one. You want to fill everybody in on what's going on?
Yeah, Seton set me straight by which team is in which area, powerhouses, and so on and so forth. But this is the New Jersey State playoffs, and Camden is a big-time school, big-time basketball school. On Tuesday, Camden beat a team called Massaquon. Massaquon is, I think, a smaller school, more of a suburban school.
Manasquan.
Manasquan, sorry, yeah. And so Manasquan had a shot at the end, which appeared to go in before the buzzer as a buzzer-beater game winner to advance in the state playoffs. The first referee called it good. They had a quick meeting, the three refs, maybe 30 seconds later. They had a quick, people are going crazy. Everyone's running on the court, and these three refs, one of the refs stepped in and said, no, it wasn't good, overruled it. They went to the scorer's table, said, shot didn't count. Camden wins. Camden advances. People went crazy. The story's gotten out there. It's gotten a lot of social media coverage. A lot of people have hard takes on it. There have been some developments in this case because Manasquan was very upset. They talked to their school board and actually had an attorney see if they could do anything, file an injunction, because the next playoff game for Camden is not until Saturday afternoon against a school in Newark. And so right now it is in the courts. The first round of the court proceedings did not go so well for Manasquan. The judge gave no ruling. He said it's not really in his authority to rule on basketball games, which is ironic because it makes sense. But they do have an appeals process if they want to pursue it. They can go to a higher court, and that's what's going to happen possibly today for Manasquan. Do they take this to a court to try to get like a stay and push back the state playoffs? A couple kickers in the story. The Newark High School that plays Camden, they did a post saying, hey, if this gets moved back, we understand and we're willing to move our game back in the carriage of justice, I guess. A lot of people are calling for the Camden head basketball coach to not take the victory or forfeit the victory, whatever you want to say, because his team didn't win fair and square, even though it's not on him. It's the refs.
What's the commercial of the guy that the kid in the basketball game?
Sportsmanship?
It's a sportsmanship
pass
one.
It on?
Yeah, pass it on.
Alex tips the ball out of bounds.
Yeah.
And they call it for Central High.
Yes.
And he goes to his coach and says, Coach, I touched it.
I touched it.
And the coach actually walks in and says, all right.
So, okay. Is this more about a humanity aspect of things, right? The human facet in it. You know, is this a teaching moment? Is this a moment for the head coach who has his arms wrapped around a great number of young adults who are most likely not going to play any further? To teach a valuable lesson. Like, it's blatant. It is a good bucket and everybody can see it. Now, it's not necessarily with the rules. The rules state that when the referees make the call, it's end, it's just, it is what it is. Is this a teaching moment, Fritzy, for the kids?
I think it is a teaching moment for the coach. And if for some reason the legislation is, hey, you know, whether the coach is trying to do the right thing or not, I think the coach has to step forward and say, hey, we didn't win that game. That basket should have counted, and step off. And if my kid was on that team, as disappointed as I would be, it wasn't like a called strike three where it was subjective with an ump where everyone has a different strike zone. It was blatantly that basket counted, and it was still 0.4 seconds when it left the fingertips. There's no two ways about it. And I think the coach says something, and then if they overrule it, they overrule it and say, well, we don't have instant replay. Your team is still playing in the next game. Then you play it. But I think that is an opportunity for the coach to say.
Yeah, I want to hedge my bets a little bit here. If I'm the coach, I'm like, hopefully I can hear a little like whether or not the ruling's going to come down and say, like, you know, it's the rules. And it's what it should be. That's the law, right?
So it appears that the New Jersey State High School Athletic Association has rules in place that are being enforced properly. The refs are allowed to have a discussion before they leave the floor and change a call if they choose to. They're not allowed to use replay in any way.
Okay.
So the refs, according to the bylaws, if they're still on the court, once they've left the playing area and go to the back, they can't change it. It becomes a historical fact. The refs followed the rules that were in place. It's almost like the tuck rule in the NFL.
Right, right. It was a horrible call, but it was proper call under the rules of football at the time. This is the rule that is in place right now. They called it a no good bucket. They can't go to review it. They had a discussion. They came to an answer that it was no good. That's the end of the game. It's very hard to do. Like if you walk in, I'm playing college football all the time. We're playing the University of Washington. You know, there's a controversial play. You walk into the locker room afterwards and we find out that the replay shows that Washington's wide receiver was inbounds when he caught the touchdown. And, It was ruled incomplete. I look at Mike Price at the time. We haven't been to a Rose Bowl in 67 years. And we look at each other and we go, you know what? Let's go do the right thing.
It's an ESPY moment.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem realistic. The Camden head coach, people, he hasn't really commented, but people are asking him to not play in the next playoff game and give up the spot, which I don't even know if actually he could legally do.
Because I assume if he doesn't play, then it's a forfeit, and the team that they were supposed to play just advances on its own. Because they're not gonna take Manasquan and put them in a winner spot when it's not ruled that way. So
I'd also like to interview the Manasquan head coach and say, if the tables were turned, were you planning on going up to and forfeiting the game if you were the beneficiary?
Well, it's easy to say that.
Absolutely, I would do the right thing.
That's an absolute easy answer. That's why I say hedge the bets. Like if you're the coach for Camden right now. Like, you know, you got to get some insiders in the legislature and find out what the ruling may be coming down, because then you can step forward before the ruling comes out. If you know they're going to say, hey, it's the law, Camden moves on. And the Camden guy comes out and goes, you know, I would love to offer the win to our opponent. And it's a great teaching moment, but he already knows behind the back room shenanigans in New Jersey. You know, they're going to go. Camden's still going to go forward anyway.
Let's say we were all dads and all our kids played on the Camden team. It's a hypothetical.
Aren't we right? All dads?
All dads. Yeah, I think we are. Yeah. Let's say we're all dads of kids who played on a high school team that was in this scenario.
Yep.
And the coach said to the parents, I'm going to do this. I'm going to walk in and say, we're forfeiting this game. I want to give the parents a heads up. Do you think you guys, if this were a real situation as a parent, would go, coach, we understand. Good job. Or you'd be like, no. Those are the breaks. We get bad calls. But I get bad calls. My son's should stay in the basketball tournament.
Okay, so, you know, much of my life now is about speaking. It's about controlling the things that you can control, right? That this seems certainly in a situation of an uncontrollable situation. The effort, the attitude and behavior are the things that I can. And that's the things I'm trying to teach my son. And it would run counter to everything that I talk about publicly. It would run counter to everything that I've been trying to teach him in his 6 years of life if I didn't look at him and have the back of my coach, his coach, when he stepped into the room and saying, hey, I'm going to do the right thing here. It would run counter to everything that I'd let, you know who I'd let enter the fray? I'd let my wife, who is uber competitive, former All-American Georgetown volleyball player, you know, I think a lot of people think I'm going to be a kind of a crazy sports dad. I'm not. Like, I sit on the sideline in my lawn chair, and I watch it, and whoever's coaching is coaching my kid.
But do you think you'd freak out if you, all of a sudden the coach sent you an email, Mr. Leaf, we're forfeiting our next game in the state playoffs out of doing the right thing?
I wouldn't now because of my perspective. Now, talk to me 10 years ago, I might burn the guy's house down. That's a different scenario altogether. Now, my wife is another story, okay? She is the glue that holds the family together, but I would say she is, she's crazy glue. I think that's the best way to put it. Like she'll get something done. She would be the first that would, erupt in a email thread. They're like this, you will not do this. And these are the reason why. And she would have a bullet point, presentation for the coach before it was all said and done. Marvin.
Going back to you being a sports dad, would you be cool, calm, and collected because you made it to the NFL? Because the crazy sports dads you see are guys who didn't make it and they live through their kids so they can, you know, have those dreams that maybe they didn't fulfill themselves when they were kids.
Yeah, I can't quite put my finger on it. I think it is an understanding of what's important. I think that's the biggest takeaway in this. I understand that if he, you know, in his little league game, T-ball game, you know, isn't properly running through the first baseline, you know, running through the, you know, first base on his, instead of just stopping right on the base, you know. I hear some dads just screaming at the kid, like, run through the bag. You know, I'm like, hey, man, he's 6 years old. Let's you know, pump the brakes on this a little bit, all right? Marvin.
Now, going back to Camden, if your kid was just a high school basketball player, and this is, he's just going to go to college just to be a student, right?
Yep.
This is it for him. Would you be more inclined to say, man, this is the last chance my son has to win a state championship or to keep playing high school basketball? Would you just kind of say, tough break? I can't even pronounce the other school's name, but
you know. It's there's also a cliche that I use a lot in my speeches. It's life isn't fair, right? It's how you deal with it that matters, okay? And so I think that could speak volumes to it as well. Like, hey, you know, this isn't fair, son. But, you know, it's going to be how you deal with it that ultimately matters in all this. Because guess what? You know, 20 years from now, people are going to look back on it and say, you know, on what side of history were you, Seton?
You know, my reaction to this is from the first time I saw it, say, Wednesday morning until right now, bad calls happen.
Yeah.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. You guys got screwed. Man, that really sucks. There was probably 100 other bad calls in that game. Nobody is fighting to replay those. Nobody's fighting to replay all of the other bad calls that probably happened throughout the game. But this is the one that's on video, and there's a timer, and it's a juicy thing, and it's easy to do the morality play of, like, they should do the right thing. Nobody would. Nobody would. I appreciate it. I do. It's great and all. But bad calls happen. It's part of sports. They don't have video replay. Sorry. Maybe Manasquan can fight to get video replay put into the game.
Okay, here you go. Here you go. This is a real-time thing, all right? I'm playing high school football my senior year. We're playing in the state semifinals to get to the state championship. We run the veer. We run the option, all right? Apparently, the 6'4" gazelle gangly quarterback is really good at running the option, I guess. Because two times in the game, I put it in the lap of my fullback, ride him, I pull it, I go around the end, I went two touchdowns, one 65 yards, the other one 68 yards, both mid-run towards the end zone, inadvertent whistle, when the fullback went ultimately was tackled near or at the line of scrimmage. We lose by 4 points in the state semifinal game to go to our second consecutive state championship, all right? So after the fact, the Montana State High School Association came out and talked about how the referees made, you know, it's just poor, bad calls that cost us that. So I guess I do have something like that. And I'm 47 years old and I'm still talking about it, apparently. So I guess it is something that affects me in a way that that does. But it's a perfect example of life isn't fair.
Yeah, I've been going back and forth with this all week because I always like to, if you can, try to fix an injustice.
Right.
But it feels like the rules were followed properly by the enforcement of the rules. And like, I'm kind of leaning towards Seton's way of, this is a dangerous precedent to set that if you have a buzzer
beater.
You
can't do it. You're exactly right.
Yeah. If the Manasquan school, I understand they're going to fight for it. I understand the local lawyer is going to play to the local crowd and try to fight for his local community. A little pandering there. But if you decide a bad call by a ref in a courtroom, it's like that is a wide open door for New Jersey high school sports that can't be closed, almost like a precedent.
And guess what? This sets up for our next topic. When we get to our next segment, because guess it's all about Reggie Bush and whether he deserves his Heisman back, right? Laws were broken through the NCAA at the time. But now, when these rules, of course, are much more laxed, when there's collectives, when there's marketing firms everywhere you look around in terms of it, what is the right thing to do? We're going to talk about that next, right here on the Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, so saddle up for all the action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement Wager on your favorite horses. Then watch the races live right there on the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code DP. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at dkhorse.com.
March is here, everybody, and that means it's tournament season. The TIAA Big Ten Men's Basketball Tournament tips off soon. Stream a first-round doubleheader live Wednesday, March 13th, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on Peacock. Welcome back to the Dan Patrick Show, everybody. I'm your host, Ryan Leaf, filling in for Dan. Seen some interesting feedback on social media platforms. I've heard this one before. I don't know if you guys have heard this, but some believe that I sound like Will Ferrell.
I could hear that.
Yeah. I don't think you would have thought of it until somebody said it.
Right. Yeah. I've never once thought it, and then the minute you said it, I was like, oh, okay.
There's a Will Ferrell to me a little bit, and it's not, maybe it's a Ron Burgundy?
It's the pacing.
Okay. Milk was a poor choice. Is that? Yeah. Johnny Manziel. Of course, him and I have been tied to one another for some time. Incredible college quarterback for the Texas A&M. Won a Heisman Trophy as a freshman, the first freshman ever to do so. And of course, polarizing in terms of what NIL looks like these days to what it could have meant for him as a college football player. And he's been on, you know, there was a documentary, won't get into that, Netflix. But the tweet that he put out a few days ago regarding the Heisman Trophy, Reggie Bush, and what he's going to do in response to that.
Yeah, Manziel tweeted out, after careful thought and consideration, I'm humbly removing myself from the Heisman Trophy ceremony until Reggie Bush gets his trophy back. Doesn't sit right with my morals and values that he can't be on the stage with us every year. Reggie is the Heisman Trophy. Do the right thing, NCAA. The ball is in your court.
It's not. So let's start from the beginning with it. Having listened to Johnny over the last couple years, I do think there's a different perspective and understanding about making it about other people. He reveres the Heisman Trophy. It's something that's incredibly special to him. We know that. I do think it's odd, and now I understand why some people also think it's odd coming from me when I'm speaking out, let's say, against the NFL or... In particular, I can look at one scenario when Vincent Jackson passed away. I really was emotional around it, and I came out, and it was pretty hard against the NFL and Troy Vincent and Tracy Perlman and everybody really there on Park Avenue in New York. And people their immediate reaction is like, you know, that's rich coming from this guy, who wasn't even a huge participant in the NFL. I mean, just it just seems odd coming from someone like me. And I think it probably has been a bit odd to some people that's coming from Johnny, because there are multiple USC Heisman Trophy winners. One of them played with him in Matt Leinart. Wouldn't this be something that should have been done by maybe some of them to have their boys back? And because I do think this could go a long way, for we know what and how important it is to have all those former winners there every single year. I mean, it was the biggest thing for me the year I went, and my dad got to see all these former winners that night and be a part of it. They show up, not only do they show up, But it's a big weekend for them. So there would be a sacrifice on their part simply because of the hoopla, the appearance fees, things that go into being a former Heisman Trophy winner. But I think this would go a long way. Now, this speaks to the right or wrong of what the New Jersey basketball playoff game we just talked about last segment, because at the time, I'll let Paulie talk about this because he had it very well and done succinctly this morning when we were going through the rundown. Talk to us about the difference between the Heisman committee, the NCAA, and what the rule that was ultimately broken and why this became an issue.
So a lot of people think Reggie Bush should get his Heisman back because now we're in NIL territory with, so everything Reggie Bush did back in the day would be completely legal now, which is the conventional thinking. And it's partially true. So Reggie Bush, when he was in college, was accused of partnering with a marketing agency and taking in excess of $291,000. That was in the Yahoo story by Charles Robinson during his career at USC, taking money and benefits and travel and car and rent-free house for him and his family. And supposedly he did not pay that back to that marketing agency. Supposedly they narked him out to Yahoo. And that's why he was stripped of his title, stripped of his awards, stripped of his stats, and USC was stripped of the title win that they had. What would have to happen now for Reggie Bush to get his Heisman, the NCAA would have to reinstate Reggie Bush and kind of wipe away what happened at the time 15 plus years ago. That would also, the byproduct of that would be they would reinstate USC's national title win, which seems like even harder thing to do because they don't usually do that, the NCAA. They don't reinstate titles. They take them away and they take them away forever. So both of those things that happen. If those two things happen, the Heisman Trophy Trust could say, well, now we're going to follow suit and give Reggie both the title and the trophy itself back. He was stripped of both. If you go to the Heisman Trust website, there's a lot of things like what you have to be in good standing. You have to be a model citizen. But the specific thing it says about the Heisman Trophy is you have to be in good standing with the NCAA as a Heisman Trophy winner. So that is the rationale they used, and they used to take away his award, both the title and the award, years ago.
If I was Reggie, though, and I'm not giving that back, by the way. Well, you tried to hide it. Yeah, but what, you got like the Heisman police? They show up, you know, with the SWAT team and saying, hey, we're taking it back.
What actually happened was the Heisman Trophy asked for the trophy back.
Right.
They went through his agent. His agent said, okay-ish. And they sent him a prepaid package. They have cases for the Heisman.
Right.
It's this big, huge case. And they paid for the postage. This has actually happened. They sent it to Reggie Bush and his family, and nothing ever happened. And they made calls, supposedly, for years. We reported on this. And Reggie Bush and his family hid the Heisman Trophy at the San Diego Hall of Champions for a few months. And it was finally found out. The trophy eventually went back. They took the thing off that said Reggie Bush on it and put it back in the Heisman Trophy rotation. So that award, that actual trophy, probably went to a future winner.
This is absurd. That's why I actually agree with Johnny Manziel here, and what he's doing essentially. Let's say the Heisman House commercial, which all those guys get a kick out of. What they decide to boycott that and not do the Nissan Heisman House, right? It's always been the problem with NFL players or high end football players, especially around unionizing. Okay, there's so many of us. The opportunity to make money, the opportunity to be in the Heisman House and be in that commercial. If someone says we're going to boycott it, guess what? There's someone who's been left out of the Heisman House for the last 5 years or so that's going to jump at the opportunity. I swear it is. It's just a big reason why the NFL union has never been able to stand up in any sort of labor talks with the NFL, because we can't solidify together to do the right thing for one another. When a guy making $36, $50 million and another guy making, you know, $700,000, he needs to play those 4 years. Like, he can't consider the possibility of taking an entire year off because that was his earning potential, where, you know, where Aaron Rodgers is going to make $50 million this next year. You know, no one can stand together. So I do think that there's been a humbling of Johnny Manziel in a way where he felt like it was an appropriate opportunity to step forward and go, hey, I know how important this is to me because this is the one thing that makes me a success in the eyes of many people, of what I did in college, where I am the Heisman Trophy winner. I'm not going to go to that and be represented for that in response to what the Heisman Trust and NCAA did to Reggie Bush. Now, I say did to Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush committed the acts. We just talked about this with the New Jersey basketball situation. This was a rule that was in place during that year. He broke said rule. Should it be grandfathered in now that the rules are laxed, that don't exist anymore? It's the incarcerated marijuana charged individual. Should he still be incarcerated now because marijuana is legal everywhere else in the country?
Here's a bonus of this, a topic that it compares to. Let's say you were going to take, you know, when they took away Reggie's Heisman Trophy, they didn't give it to the second place person. They didn't give it to Vince Young. They didn't, you know, you, since he's a runner-up, should he have gotten it when it was taken away?
Well, I think Vince said he wouldn't accept it anyway, but
just an interesting byproduct.
It is, but we all know, we watched it. We saw who the best player in college football was, probably for the 4 years, 3 years he was there. Reggie Bush may be the best college football player of all time. Marvin.
Is the stupidest thing in sports vacating wins as if we didn't see them?
Yeah.
And taking away trophies? We saw Reggie Bush against Fresno State. We saw that play.
Yeah, and I see USC as a three-time champion. Like, I don't negate what Reggie Bush did is them not winning that national championship that year. I think that's absolutely asinine. I don't buy into it. And we all know, I think the NCAA is what it is. Their biggest time of the year is this month, right? They're a glorified, party planning committee is what they are, and they put together a huge party every March. That's what they do. Not so much for the women's side of things, which is a big part of this. But yeah, so this is the big conversation, and Johnny got it started, and people backed it. My biggest qualm in all this is, like, where have the USC Heisman winners been? Why have they not chosen to step up to this, to Carson Palmer, to Matt Leinart, Marcus Allen, Charles White? Charles White won it, didn't he? Right? Yeah. Where are those guys? Do they maybe not believe in it? Like, hey, we went through college and didn't do this. Or we don't want to be found out that we did it, and so we're not going to stand up or make more noise. We're just going to show up and get our 2 cents. Marvin.
And there's one of those Heisman winners from USC that I don't want defending me.
Well, yeah. I don't think anybody wants OJ defending anybody.
I'm happy somebody brought it up.
I'm happy too. He is. He is a former winner, and he should have been at the forefront of all of this.
I'm here to back Reggie Bush.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about some moose gutting. I don't know if we've ever had that conversation here on the Dan Patrick Show. We'll be right back.
Give the man back his trophy.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.